Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Talk about getting healthy. This is the place. You're listening to Talk Healthy Today with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Oh, those senior moments. Well, they can be frustrating, but are they really part of the normal process of aging? Well, to a certain extent, they are. Here's why. As we age, our blood flow to the brain decreases, causing our brain to utilize oxygen and protein less efficiently. In addition, aging brain cells don't communicate with each other as well as they once did, making it harder for the brain to process thoughts and retain short-term memory and even create new cells. But having an occasional memory lapse or needing more time to process new information doesn't mean that your brain is suffering from old age. Today we're going to be talking with Brenda Vonseca. I think you're going to really enjoy this, from Kemen Human Nutrition and Health. She's going to join me here to discuss how aging impacts cognition and memory, as well as other factors that can temporarily knock us off our mental age. A little background on Brenda. Brenda is the global cognition manager for Kemen Human Nutrition and Health. She has over 2 decades of experience conducting research on the neurobiology of learning and memory and working as a professor in the fields of cognitive neuroscience and psychological science. Brenda has her master's in behavioral neuroscience and has numerous publications on the topic. She has been invited to speak at conferences around the world and is an advocate for public education on healthy brain aging. Help me welcome my guest, Brenda. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Burke.
Isn't it interesting? I was actually talking with someone this morning, and they said, isn't it funny how there was a time when we were younger? We're about the same age. I'm in my mid-50s with him. And he says, you know, wasn't it funny that we were a little, that memory problems were only a very, very old age situation? And I said, what do you mean? He says, I have a day almost a couple times a week when I'm forgetting where I put something, where I parked my car, why I went into the room, you know, all kinds of stuff. And he said, how much of this is stress and how much of is it me actually getting older? I think this is on a lot of our minds.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that's a great point. And especially looking at how things have changed over time. I think you're spot on. We definitely have a lot more items that are tasking us. We have a lot more activities that we're doing than 50 years ago or even 10 years ago. And all that information overload and all that processing and multitasking that we do are relying on a certain type of memory. And that type of memory is called working memory. And it's a type of memory people aren't as familiar with as far as the definition, but we use it every day. And so that's keeping track of all those things, juggling all those items in our head. That's where the working memory comes in. And that's one of the first things that we start to notice a decline in. And as you mentioned, the decline happens not only with age, but it happens also when we get stressed, when we don't get enough sleep, if we aren't eating right. So all these other factors that are playing a role in our lives are also impacting our working memory performance.
Well, you know, I think some people will probably think that, well, my brain thinks for me and it remembers. But, you know, sometimes people don't realize that the brain, it regulates your body temperature. It helps your blood pressure. It helps your heart rate and your breathing. It also directs muscles and nerves so that you can do everything from walk, stand, and sit. So it has its hands full. And I think that we don't treat our brains, well, we don't treat our bodies as well as we should. But I think some of the problem is actually lifestyle. I think some of the ways we treat ourselves, not giving our body proper nutrition, not exercising our bodies. So maybe some of these things are self-induced.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think, you know, to that point, another thing that's changed and another thing that we're realizing is that the brain is something that we can impact. And so, you know, even when I was in graduate school, the dogma was that we don't grow any new neurons. The brain is basically what it is. And we know now that that's completely not the case. So throughout our life, we're able to grow new neurons in our brain. Depending on what kind of activities we engage in, we can essentially make our brain stronger and more resilient to some of those factors such as age and stress and sleep deprivation. And so I think as people are getting more educated on this, realizing that we can actually do something to have an impact on our brain. The idea of brain health and healthy lifestyles and choices to help our brain be optimized and perform at its best, I think is going to become more and more of an issue that people want to understand and they want to engage in those activities.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you see the cognitive problems in certain areas of, let's say, our country, or are we seeing it more in different parts of the country? Is it across the board? Is it geographical?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, some of these issues, like some of these fundamental things that happen as we age, they're pretty much across the globe. Mm. So as you look across countries and across even within the U.S., different geographic regions, some of these changes are just the changes that happen. So things like the processing speeds do tend to slow down as we age. The way we process information changes, and then specific types of memory starts to decline. So that working memory, and then a type of memory that most people are familiar with called episodic memory. Mm-hmm. That's what most people think of when they think of memory, and that's basically the memory of the stories of our life, the episodes of our life, and that also tends to decline as we age. But then other things are different. So, for example, between genders, so between men and women, the processing changes that happen do tend to differ between men and women. So there also are some differences, and you would expect that if those kinds of lifestyle changes even can impact that. You would expect some of those differences. But we're still, in my opinion, at the front of really understanding what's happening. So to be able to explain down to the detail of those geographic differences, I don't think we're to that level as far as the understanding of this science. We're just really understanding what's happening in the brain, what are some of those factors that influence brain health, and then starting to tease that apart and drill down to the level of understanding it at that level of detail.
You know, I have a friend, well, two friends. They're identical twins, and they're in their 50s, and I've known them a very long time. And the one is a vegetarian, good eating vegetarian, quality eating, and great nutritional supplement taker, exercises all the time, really never did any of the other bad habits, just was the way that she always was. The other one, although they are pretty much identical, is a smoker, eats a terrible diet, and they're at the point now where the one who has kind of mistreated her body is noticing a lot of cognitive problems, and the other one is not. So I think to myself sometimes, here you have situations where there was some self-abuse, you know, some vices and some things that we did, and is dramatically making a difference, where the other person with the same genetic material who has treated themselves really well is not experiencing any of these problems and is not having the blood pressure medication that the sister is on, the sugar medication, the thyroid medication. So do we have control over some of these things? I mean, is lifestyle as important as I think it is?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, not only because of just the impact that lifestyle has on you, making sure you have the right nutrients, making sure you have the right blood flow, but then also if you go down to look at epigenetics, and I'm not sure if you've discussed that previously on your show, but basically that epigenetics is the ability of our environment to influence our genes. So as a perfect example with the identical twins, some of her lifestyle things then influenced even her genetic transcription, or basically the production of different proteins from her genes, so that altered how things were progressing as well. So the decisions we make can have a great impact. And for brain health, I really feel like it's never too late to start something. There's some really nice research that's out looking at learning a new language, so bilingual individuals, and even starting much later in life, they still found that it had a really nice cognitive benefit to go out and basically use your brain, use your mind, and push yourself to learn something new, and it had some nice cognitive benefits. So obviously the earlier you can start doing these things, the better, but definitely our brain is adaptive to what's going on.
You know, I try to I try to encourage people as we get older, myself as well, you know, to do things that are more challenging to the brain, to create more of those neural pathways, you know, things like learning a language or a musical instrument or doing something different that creates a new way of learning. You know, people say crossword puzzles and things like that, and I think that they're beneficial, but I think by doing something completely different, you know, it really does challenge our brain a little bit, and those new neural pathways really kind of add to the cognitive experience.
Yeah, it definitely does. And the more cognitively challenging it can be, the better. So, I mean, obviously something like learning another language or something that's pretty taxing can be even better. And so in some ways you can think of the brain like a muscle. Mm-hmm. And so the more you use it and the more you push it, then you're building that up. And a term that's used sometimes is called cognitive reserve. So basically you're building those pathways and utilizing your brain and hopefully growing new neurons as well through the process and helping to ensure as much as possible that you'll have a healthy brain for as long as possible. So some of those big things that people, the healthy habits that have nice research showing it helps with brain performance are things like diet, for sure, having a healthy diet. The Mediterranean mm-hmm. diet has lots of mm-hmm. nice data on it. Exercise, so 20 to 30 minutes of exercise a day. Aerobic looks like it's having even more research showing nice, healthy benefits for your brain for the aerobic exercise. And then, like we said, using your brain. And then there's obviously also some nice supplements that are out there that can really help people get the full rounded healthy habits for their brain and ensure as much as possible that successful brain aging.
You know, today we're talking about brain and we're talking about memory and cognition. If you want to see more of what's coming on the show, like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. And let's face it, today, walking into most health food stores, well, it can actually boggle your brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Well, Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition at fine health food stores today. And as we're talking about this today, Bricker Labs introducing Memory Matters with Numetrics, the natural way to support working memory and cognitive performance. They had one clinical trial of individuals taking 900 milligrams of Numetrics showing 15% improvement in the quality of working memory. And, you know, Brenda, it's amazing to me because we have a lot more alternatives today to get healthy and be healthy and actually stay healthy a little bit longer. But I think sometimes, as humans, I don't know whether it's human nature, we don't think about the preparatory preventive work. We think more about the situational symptomatic work when something is already there, and we seem not to wrap our mind, if you will, around it when there's in the prevention stage. We don't think about it as much as we should.
Yeah, you know, I think that is a really good point, and that's something that we're seeing. You know, I think it's going to be changing. I think as individuals from a specific generation are maybe seeing their parents going through maybe a neurodegenerative disease, maybe a parent that gets diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And, you know, unfortunately at this point, there's not really good treatment for that. We really haven't developed anything that can really address that issue. And then realizing, you know, now when I'm in my, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, now's the time where I really should be looking to see what I can do about my brain health. You know, people understanding they can actually do something to make a change. And then hopefully, you know, what I'm hoping happens is that people start to realize the time to start working on your brain health is, you know, as early as your 20s or earlier. That's where we start to see some peaks in our performance and start to see some declines happening, especially in working memory, as early as our 20s. So it's never too early to really start a healthy lifestyle and a healthy program for a successful brain aging.
You know, we have all of these devices today, these smartphones and smart devices. And I got to tell you, I have never, ever mentioned this to people before, but I think that they're making me dumber. I used to know all the phone numbers by heart. I used to know emails by heart. I used to know all of the people's. I could just pick up the phone and dial it. And now we have the convenience of pushing a button or, you know, just sliding our finger across something. And I love the convenience. Don't get me wrong, because I figure if it's out of my head, I don't have to remember it. But oh my goodness, if I lose my device, I literally panic.
Yeah, that is. I definitely have had that happen. Where the battery goes out, right, and then you can no longer communicate with people. And it is. And I mean, the things that you're talking about, a lot of those do rely on this idea of working memory. And there is a great book, and I know we're going to talk about some ingredients and supplements and the science behind that as well. But there's a great book out too called The Working Memory Advantage by Tracy and Ross Alloway, and it's just a really nice book that basically talks about what you're referring to, that, you know, we aren't really using our working memory the way we used to. We aren't trying to keep as many things in our head, and, you know, in some ways we're kind of losing that skill, and having that skill gives us a great advantage. You know, it lets us multitask. It lets us juggle a lot of different activities at once, and it lets us keep track of all this information and pull it up when we need it to successfully answer a challenging question. It helps us in school. It helps us with reading. So it's a really important, you know, they make an argument that it's more important than IQ at predicting your success. So it's a really interesting type of memory that we're not as familiar with, but something that also we might not be practicing quite as much now that we have so much technological aid and assistance, which is great, too. I love it. But it does not challenge us quite the same way that we used to be challenged.
I do like the book, The Working Memory Advantage. It was very, very good. There's a lot of good books out there. Another one I want to make sure I mention today, The Rough Guide to the Brain, the second edition by Barry Gibb. Another really good book. There's also some other things people can do. They can go to BeBrainFit.com, a great blog. They can go to Numentix.com, NEUMENTIX, Numentix.com. And freebrainagegames.com. I do a lot of these, and I think the reason that I do is I'm a little fearful. My grandmother, her five sisters all had dementia and Alzheimer's, so it's in the genetic lines, and mm-hmm. you know, it kind of scares me because everything I do is based on memory, cognition, and talking, you know, so yep. It's just, I'm a little nervous about it. So nutrition-wise, and I do mind games, I do as much as I can. I read real books, not backlit books, and I try to do all I can because it's a little scary, and I think a lot of baby boomers like myself we're more afraid of this than anything else.
Yep, definitely. You know, there was a recent study by the AARP, and that was the number one item that was listed as, you know, what's the most important thing to you as you age, and it was maintaining mental sharpness. And, you know, it really is key because it affects everything about our lives. So it's of prime importance, absolutely.
Now, if somebody had to ask you a question, and they were going to ask you the maybe two or three things, quick tips that would help to keep them cognitively healthier. I mean, it could be anything from diet or exercise or whatever. How would you rate the level of those as importance?
That's a good question. I would say really some of the top ones are the diet for sure is huge. And I think we're starting to understand that even more. If you can't get everything from your diet, you know, supplementing on some of those really important factors, but diet and what you put in your body, that's the fuel for your brain and the foundation for that. And then the second, probably the big three, I'd say the second one then is exercise. Absolutely. Like 20 to 30 minutes of aerobic exercise. There's great research, clinical trials, just showing again and again that it's a very effective way to improve your cognitive performance. And then, as we talked about, you know, using your brain. So even when people retire, sometimes there can be a dip in cognitive performance, in part because of just now no longer engaging in mental activities. So just staying really engaged and challenging yourself cognitively.
You know, one of the activities I think is very good as we're getting older, and a lot of the people that I know have, you know, lost a spouse, or a lot of their friends have passed, or they moved away, and I try to get them, you know, I make suggestions that they get involved in some of the activities, and a lot of them get into walking, and they get into like doing exercise at like the community pools and things like this. And I have to tell you, Here in Las Vegas, we have a lot of malls, and they actually have a door that's open in the morning for, we call them the mall walkers. And they're the senior group that go in and they walk the inside of the mall because it's safe and it's climate controlled. And oh my goodness, you have to get out of their way because they're on a mission. And they will tell you that it keeps them alive, it keeps them vibrant, it keeps their brain. And I literally went one day and I was just strolling around. I about got knocked over. They are on a mission.
Absolutely. And you know, that's like a win-win there because they're exercising, they're getting that social interaction, which is really important. And part of that is from the cognitive stimulation as well. And you know, there's one area in our brain that's so important, and that's the area that grows new neurons. That's called the hippocampus. And that's also the area that helps with our spatial navigation. So even that walking, you know, I mean, you're challenging your hippocampus, you're talking, you're gaining social interaction. So that's fantastic.
You know, one other thing, you know, you did mention the Mediterranean diet, which I'm a huge advocate of, and I have a lot of friends that live in that part of the world, and many of them were raised in that part of the world, so for them it's just what they know. And then of course I have friends that have gone to live there and stay there for 6 months to a year, and when they come back, they don't even look like the same people because they've dramatically changed their life and incorporated in, you know, great socialization and a lot of sun and vitamin D and, you know, walking into the village to get their vegetables and fruits and fish every day and just a different kind of lifestyle. And it is something that I wish was almost required for us to start eating because we could dramatically change the face of health in this country.
Yeah, it is. It's the food that we're eating and the impact it's having on us is tremendous. And so, you know, being able to really think about your diet and what you're putting in, thinking about what supplements you're taking, it's so important to your overall brain health, for sure. Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question. I just want to make sure we address this. Medications. I mean, today we are a medication-based world. Many of the medications are for controlling symptoms that many of us find annoying. Some of them are actually life-changing. Some of them are disease and health problem controlling. But also many of them do have cognitive side effects that are noticed by people that their concentration and their thinking may be altered due to the medication. And I think we're seeing more of it.
Yeah, it's just you know, obviously our medications have an important role in our health, and you know, I'm glad we have what we have.
True.
But definitely there's impacts on our mental performance with some of these, and so, you know, following some of these guidelines, making sure you're staying as much as possible with a healthy brain program can hopefully assist with some of that. And it shows, too, just the importance of that mental sharpness is for our quality of life.
If you had to put your finger on the one food group that is the one that we should remove from our diet, what would you say it is?
Oh, that's a good question. that's a little bit of a loaded question. I don't know if I want to... pick one food group for that, but
how about a group? How about a group of foods?
Yeah, you know, you know, I think following those rules of just eating as real food, as much real food as possible. So the amount of processed food that we eat, and just some of the things that are in that that are not beneficial. You know, the amount of sugar maybe that we get in our diet, some of those things that we're taking in that just aren't helping our body and especially our brain, I think, are some of those things that I would try and limit in the diet and switch over to whole grains, real food, and basically eating as many vegetables as possible. You can't really go wrong with just loading up on vegetables.
Well, I hope that we're getting more people that are interested, and I think it's going to be a work in progress for all of us. And fear, of course, actually is a motivator.
Yeah, it is. And that's where, you know, seeing things happen to family members and realizing, you know what, I need to take care of my body and take care of my brain. Yeah, it's you know, a good reason to make some changes.
Well, of course, I want to make sure that everybody, reminding them a little bit about some of these things like the blogs, like the BeBrainFit.com, Numentix.com, the FreeBrainAgeGains.com, definitely. Some of the books you might want to keep in mind, The Working Memory Advantage, Train Your Brain to Function Stronger, Smarter, Faster by Tracy Alloway and Ross Alloway, and The Rough Guide to the Brain, the second edition by Barry Gibb. These are really important tools. Everything we do today, whether it's our food, whether it's our supplements, whether it's, you know, exercising, whether it's drinking water, getting a good night's rest, all of these things are tools that really do add up to a healthier way of living. Of course, I want to have my thanks to my guest, Brenda Fonseca, and of course, this great information today that can make a dramatic difference in our life in general. Remember the product by Memory Matters by Bricker Labs with Numentix, available at Vitamin Shop and fine health food stores everywhere. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of the segments, remember to go to the radio show page at Radio MD. Look for Talk Healthy Today for the on-demand podcast of the show. Thanks for listening, and stay well.